Welcome to this deep dive. We're going to be talking all about the ACCA LAA exam today, and we're going straight to the source for this one, using the examiner's report to give you all the best tips to prepare.
Yeah, it's like having a cheat sheet straight from the people who write the exam.
Exactly.
So we'll be breaking down common mistakes that candidates make and giving you the tools to answer those questions confidently.
Perfect.
The thing to remember about the AA exam is it's all about applying the knowledge, not just, you know, memorizing a bunch of facts. And this is actually where a lot of candidates sort of trip up. They try to just memorize everything, but really you need to understand the concepts.
Yeah, it's about using it.
Yeah, think about financial accounting as like
yeah.
the foundation for your audit house, right? Without it, your risk assessments are gonna fall apart.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, so the exam wants to see you build that house, not yeah. just, you know, recite the materials list.
Gotcha. So the exam itself
yeah.
is broken down into two sections. We've got objective tests and written responses.
Yep, and both of those sections really focus on that application piece. The examiners actually recommend practicing HAST questions, especially for the written responses, to get a feel for how to apply your knowledge in different situations.
Okay, so let's jump into Section A then,
yeah.
which is all about those objective tests, multiple choice questions. They're testing your understanding of real audit situations. And one little detail that the examiners highlighted was the subsequent events review period.
Oh, yeah. This is a tricky one. A lot of people get this confused. They think it ends on the financial statement issuance date. But actually, it's the auditor's report signing date that really matters.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so it's all about when the auditor's signing off, not when that information goes public.
Makes sense. The examiners also mentioned the classifications of adjusting versus non-adjusting events.
Yeah, so think about adjusting events as things. That changed the numbers on the financial statements. Like if that you suddenly realize you have to write off a bad debt, non-adjusting events are more like important footnotes. They give context, but don't directly change those numbers.
Yeah.
A classic example is the dividend declaration. It's non-adjusting. You wouldn't change the financial statements because of it, but you definitely want to let people know about it.
So it's not just about knowing the definition. It's about applying it, right?
Exactly. That's the key to this exam. Mm-hmm. And we'll dive into some of those real-world applications a little bit later when we talk about Section B.
Sounds good. Okay, so let's move on to Section B then. This is where you really get to show off your ability to apply your knowledge through written responses.
Right. And this is where a lot of candidates kind of miss the mark. They get caught up in just repeating facts from the scenario instead of really explaining the why behind it all.
Yeah, like what's the significance of it all?
Exactly. It's like a detective presenting evidence, but not explaining how it connects to the suspect.
Okay, so how can people avoid falling into that trap then?
It's all about connecting those dots. So, for example, let's say the scenario mentions that a company's receivables collection period has increased, like, significantly.
Okay.
A Wilk answer would just be to state that fact, you know, to say, oh, yeah, it's increased.
Right.
But a strong answer would explain why that's a red flag. You know, why does that raise concerns about the risk of overstated receivables?
So you have to show them that you understand the implications
exactly, not just the facts themselves.
Gotcha. The examiner's report also talked about the importance of being specific. When you're describing substantive procedures.
No, absolutely. Think of it like giving directions. You wouldn't just say, go to the store, right?
Right.
You'd give the address, the route, maybe even mention some landmarks along the way.
Yeah, to make sure they get there.
Exactly. And it's the same with those procedures. Instead of just saying, inspect the invoice, you need to explain what you're looking for. Are you verifying the date, the amount? Give the examiners that clear roadmap of your thought process.
Okay, so it's all about being super specific and clear.
Precisely.
What about internal control deficiencies then? The examiners had some comments on those as well.
Yes, they really emphasized moving beyond those generic answers like fraud and error. It's about identifying the specific risk that each deficiency exposes the company to. So, for example, if there's a lack of segregation of duties, that's not just a vague risk of something bad happening.
Right.
It specifically increases the risk of unauthorized transactions slipping through and potentially leading to misstatements.
Oh, okay. I see. So again, it's all about that precision.
Exactly. Think of yourself as a surgeon, not a butcher. You need to be precise and targeted.
Okay. I like that. Feeling a lot more confident about those written responses now. But what about the auditor's report? It's like the grand finale of the whole audit process.
It is. And it's where candidates often trip up a bit when it comes to modifications.
Okay.
You need to know when to modify that opinion and what type of modification is needed.
Right.
This is where practice really comes in handy. Familiarize yourself with those different scenarios and the right modifications, and you'll be ready for whatever the exam throws at you.
So understanding those nuances is just as crucial as mastering those other sections. Mm. And speaking of mastering things, let's move on to some practical tips then that candidates can use to prepare for this exam. All right, so we've talked about a lot. But how can candidates take all of this and actually turn it into a winning strategy for the exam?
Well, it all starts with how you study. Don't just passively read through the material. Treat it like you're actively investigating something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, ask yourself questions, make connections, test yourself regularly. You're building a mental muscle here. The more you use it, the stronger it gets.
So instead of just memorizing those facts, mm-hmm. it's more about understanding the why behind them and how they all fit together in an audit.
Exactly. And when you're practicing those past exam questions, don't just focus on getting the right answer. Really analyze how you got there. Where did you struggle? What concepts were tricky? And then go back to your study materials and really nail down those areas.
So it's like a constant feedback loop.
Yeah, exactly.
And an examiner's report itself
can
be a really useful tool for this, right?
Absolutely. It's like a sneak peek into what the examiners are looking for. Pay attention to those common mistakes they highlight. Those are the areas you want to make sure you're solid on.
It's like having a personalized roadmap.
Precisely.
And don't be afraid to get creative with your studying, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Explain concepts to a friend. Make flashcards. Record yourself answering questions. The more engaging you make it, the more likely you are to actually remember it.
That makes sense. Now, what about those written responses? Any tips for making those stand out to the examiners?
Structure and clarity are key. Use headings, bullet points, concise language. You want to make it easy for them to follow your thinking. Remember, they're reading hundreds of these.
Right. They don't need any extra work.
Exactly. So make it easy for them to see that you know what you're talking about.
It's like presenting a perfectly plated dish instead of just a pile of ingredients.
Precise.
And of course, proofread carefully.
Oh, yeah. Don't let silly typos or grammar errors distract from all your hard work.
Good advice. Any final words of wisdom for our aspiring auditors out there?
Just remember, success on this exam isn't just about knowledge. It's about application, critical thinking, exam technique. Combine solid preparation with everything we've talked about, and you'll be well on your way to acing this thing.
That's great advice. I feel much more prepared now. Thanks for sharing all your insights.
My pleasure. Happy to help.
And that wraps up our deep dive into the ACCA-CAA exam. We hope you found this episode helpful. And we wish you all the best in your studies. Until next time, happy auditing.